everybody. Welcome back to Fungula. We have another great episode for you today. My guest is my very good friend who tours with me all over the world, Mal Hall. That's how I introduce him at all the shows. Fun fact. If you've been to any of my shows over the past, 12 years, then you've probably seen Mal. And you can see him in his half hour special right now on YouTube called The Ice Cream's Not Ready. So you can watch his special there. Very funny. Tours with me everywhere. And he's also going to be touring with me and on his own. So if you come to my Albany show, he's going to be with me there. If you come to my New Year's Eve show in Phoenix, he's going to be with me there. But he'll also be headlining San Jose Improv.
October 16th.
He's still here. October 16th. It's a Wednesday. San Jose Improv. Everybody go check it out. And then where else?
November 7th at the Ontario Improv.
November 7th.
And then on his website, malhall.com.
Yes.
/tour.
Yes. So you can check out Mal at all those places. And I am going to be in Hartford, Connecticut this weekend. I'll be in Albany with Mal Hall. I'll be in Philadelphia. So you can come to all of those shows. Get your tickets at angela.com. Also, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail message to tell us what you are grateful for, we would love to hear it. So you can call us at 747-300-5380. Give us a call and tell us what you're grateful for. Also, don't forget to leave a review, please. If you love my podcast, leave me a review. Give me all the stars. Tell everybody else why they should also listen to this podcast, because all of that really does help get the word out and just spread the word about my podcast, Fungula, and spread good vibes. Is that it? Is there anything else, Danielle?
And don't forget Instagram, social media.
Oh, yeah. Follow us.
Follow there, too.
Follow us. If you're watching on YouTube, you already know about YouTube. If you're not, check us out on YouTube. Like, subscribe, follow us on TikTok, on Instagram, repost one of our stories, leave us a comment, mm-hmm. all the things. So thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
I did. I went golfing this morning.
Where'd you go?
Daybell, I think it's what it's called. It's like up on the hill in Burbank. Yeah. Just.
We're professionals here.
Just cracking Bud Lights at 8:30 in the morning. Good for you, Danielle.
I'm trying to get ready. My goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Danielle, you got a problem.
With my LaCroix.
We have so many beverages right now.
There's a lot of hydration.
The AC's
happening.
Off for sure, right? Because it's hot.
I'm feeling cool air.
Although I feel it. Hold on.
Daybell Golf Club. It was up on the hill in Burbank.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
There's a good restaurant up there, Castaways.
Yeah, so it's right up by that.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. We saw deer out there. It was pretty nice. It was very peaceful.
I love seeing deer.
Yeah. A nice, like, yeah. I mean, I was up at 5:30 this morning after getting
you're
back
unreal.
At 1 o'clock.
You're unreal. I don't know. You're the type of guy, though, that can survive on 4 hours of sleep. Like, that's how you function.
Yeah, like 5 hours is a good amount of time.
Yeah, that's wild.
I just think that, like, now that I've been golfing, when I'm on the road, this is guilt-free golf. Because I'm not leaving Carlene with the kids. It's like, I'm here anyway.
Yeah.
We don't have our shows until tonight.
Yeah.
If I can golf first thing in the morning, it's healthy. I walked 4 miles already today.
Wow.
Like.
But on minimal sleep, though.
I'll try to get a nap in, but then I'll get that adrenaline boost tonight. I'll have a coffee. We'll be fine.
But that's your regular functioning mentality. Like. I would die.
Yeah.
I would for sure die. I would. Yeah. I've always prioritized sleep. Like, I remember being on the road and different road managers that I would have, like starting all the way back, like with Lauren,
mm-hmm.
that would prioritize free breakfast at the lobby of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I got to go get that breakfast before they shut it down in 30 minutes. And I'm like, nah, son, I'm about to sleep for... I'm going to sleep right through the breakfast.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Different priorities.
I don't think I've ever gotten breakfast, the free breakfast. Yeah. They always tell you when you check in, oh, yeah. Free breakfast right over there. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm good.
But you're not a breakfast guy.
I'm not a breakfast person. No. I'll eat at lunch.
Yeah. You're a coffee guy.
I think.
How are you alive? What is happening?
I think I got this way from when I started doing colleges, and I would do like 3 in a row, and it was like, all right, well, I'm flying into this place and doing this college, and then my flight is at 4 a.m., so I can't sleep here. I'll just catch a nap in the airport before my flight, and then I'll get my 3 hours before the show, and then, like, I would do the math and, like, get my sleep where I could. Yeah. So my body's used to, like, okay, 5 hours feels, like, really good. If I get 6+,
yeah.
I feel like what you feel at, like, 9 or 10+, where you're like, oh, like, I slept too much.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, I'm glad you're here on the podcast today. Now we have our work weekend. We do shows together. We've been touring together for years and years and years. And here we are doing our first podcast together.
Yeah. I mean, there.
Oh my God.
The hell? Is this your first podcast? These are microphones.
Sorry.
First, you open the Bud Light, and listen, then you just open a bag of chips into the microphone.
I would like to point out, I'm actually being so selfless right now because I made sure all of you guys were ready and set, and then I saved myself for last.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Listen, I had everything set, and then Manny was moving stuff, yeah, and then I got discombobulated. So
we're here now.
All right.
Glad to have you. Ready, set, start over.
Happy to just be kidding. Here.
Okay. Probably stand by for another noise break because Bonzo just jumped off my lap and he's going to start scratching the carpet to fluff his new area. Okay. Stand by.
The flat carpet.
Yeah. There is no fluffing that can happen, but he'll do it. Is he doing it?
No, I don't think so. No, no, he's okay. Just laid down.
Moving on. We're finally here doing a podcast episode together. We already have great conversations everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. We've been touring together for years and years, yeah, and years. So I'm excited to just share these conversations with everybody. We recently did our Bestie Lingo Talk, yes, challenge. Yeah. I immediately saw that and I was like, I'm going to do this one with Mal because there's so many times I want to share what we do when we trade places on stage. If you've come to one of my shows, you've probably seen Mal. And what happens is he introduces me and we trade spots, mm-hmm, on stage. Yep. I take over the microphone, he walks away. But there's always a little secret convo that happens. And sometimes it's not even a conversation. Sometimes it's just a look. Yeah. Sometimes we already know, yeah, what we're going to say. But whatever it is, Mal, in this 2-second exchange before we trade places, lets me know everything that I need to know about this audience that I'm about to engage with.
Yep.
Are they good? Are they awful? Are they tired? Are they fire energy? Are they medium energy? Mm-hmm. Are they talky? Are they, you know, somebody shouting out? Is there annoying people? Is there whatever? He can tell me everything that I need to know in this little tiny exchange.
It's like a 2 or 3 second exchange with music blaring and uh-huh, us smiling, regardless, uh-huh, oh, of what, yeah, the message is. It's like, hey.
It's always a smile.
But it's important. That's like part, I feel, yeah, like that's part of my job. Like, yeah, the main support or the feature act's job on any comedy show is to let the headliner know like what they're getting into.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's like, chatty guy on the right and also have fun with this group because, yeah, they suck. Or they're amazing. You're gonna love this.
And then what's interesting is when I'm not working with you and I'm working with somebody else, I forget and I go to trade places and I don't get any kind of heads up of what I'm walking into and I'm like, oh, okay, let's figure this out.
Yeah, I guess I just
if you're at my show and you see me and Mal trade places and he gives me a look or whispers something, if you see me respond like this, you know what crowd you're sitting in.
That means I just told her,
call him out.
Have fun.
That's our lingo.
Yeah.
Is if the crowd is like super tired or just chatty and like just drunk and heckling and just not a vibe.
Yeah.
Mal says, have fun.
Yeah. But you know what makes me mad? And this is not my mattitude, but like sometimes I get pissed because I'll tell her, have fun. Like I hate, like hate is a strong word, but like I dislike that group for that 25 minutes. And then after the show, she'll be like, oh my God, I love them. They were so good. I don't know what you were talking about.
Turns out they were just waiting to see me.
Turns out they just didn't like you, dude. That's like 20% of the time it'll be like have fun, and then you'll be like, that was, they were delightful. Okay. All right, Angela.
Mal Hall. So there's a little insider bit if you ever come to a show. The code words are have fun. That means you're gonna have to work for it. And then their fire means they're fire. This is about to be amazing. And a lot of times I already know before I even walk, like I can feel the energy backstage. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be good. And then even like last night, the first show, I was like, wow, they're fire. And then the second show, after a while, I said to the green room, I go, I haven't heard anyone laugh yet. And you've been out there for like 15 minutes. And I was like, I don't hear any laughing. Are they laughing? We had to open the door to listen for it. And I was like, oh man, this is night and day difference from the first show. And then even I walk out there and then the microphone didn't work and it was a whole thing and it was awkward. And then usually when you call attention to the awkward thing that happens, everybody laughs because it's like you called attention to it. And I was like, awkward. Nobody said anything. They were just like,
But thankfully there was the rat to really bring it all together. So.
Oh my God.
The chef. We got a ratatouille situation happening over at the Improv.
You guys, towards the end of my set, I see some commotion happening in the back of the room. And sometimes I'll not acknowledge it, but it was enough commotion with enough people to where I was like, I have to acknowledge something's happening over there. And I was like, what's happening? And then people start shouting out, there's a rat. And I was like, no.
Who's snitching?
Snitches get stitches. They're like, no, wrong rat. So it was a whole commotion. It was a whole thing. I didn't even know how to handle this situation. And I was like, you guys, this isn't even my house, and I feel embarrassed. I wanted to tell everybody, oh, just look away. It's fine. It's fine.
Nothing to see there.
Not even my house.
You handle those situations really well, though. Like the off the cuff stuff that happens in the room, like you're very good at that.
Really?
I think so. I always we'll always hear, like, if we're like, we know the show. So like sometimes you hear laughter that's like, and I'm sure for you guys, same thing. Like you'll hear laughter in a spot where you're like, okay, well, that's not like a thing. And so we'll poke our head like, what's going on? And every time I do that is something weird is happening and you're just crushing it in the room.
Oh, well, thank you. I feel like I wish I had some more punchlines to add in those moments, but I really just react as if I would react. And it's just my natural, like, they're screaming, I'm screaming too. What are we doing?
And that is why we were sitting back there and I was, I think you were like, do you hear screaming? And I like, ran out there. And then my favorite part though was the security guy. I was like, what's going, I was like, what happened? And he just casually was like, oh, there was a rat. And I was like, and we're not more panicked? He was just like, it was in the rafters. And
what's the evacuation protocol? That crowd though, because it was weird. I felt like I was I was like walking uphill with snow boots on the wrong feet. Like like I tried to, because the show started like 45 minutes late. Because
was it 45 minutes late?
Yeah.
It was late. Because and they were all out there like halfway through your set is when the line starts forming outside. Yeah, so at the top of those shows, always I go, hey, shout out to you guys for like waiting in line. Like we're pumped that you're here. Like try to give them some.
And just so everybody knows, when the show's running late, it is never our fault.
Yeah.
No. Correct. Yeah. We get off stage when we're supposed to get off stage, mm-hmm. but they have to turn around the room. They have to bus all the tables, mm-hmm. clean it up, back, whatever they do to turn around the rooms. Yeah. And then they got to seat everybody in their
tables.
And this is at clubs. This is at clubs,
yeah.
So when it's running late, there's some clubs that they're on it. No, mm-hmm. we're starting on time. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I don't know how they do it, but I need you to spread the word so everybody learns how to do this.
Yeah, it's like night to night. You know, at those clubs, but I try to give them some love, like up front for the whole crowd before I even get into any of my jokes. Thank you guys for being here. This is so cool.
Yeah.
And they were just like, nothing.
Mad.
Yeah. And then I started again to like, all right, you know, I'm trying to thank you guys. And then the microphone cut out. And then they were like looking at me like I didn't know what I was doing. Like, who is this new guy? Doesn't know how the microphone works. Then I pick up the other microphone and we do the whole thing. And through that whole thing, they were looking at me like it was my fault. And I was just like, all right, dude, let me just do my show.
Let me just hit a punchline. Yeah, like, here we go. And in all fairness, that's not their fault. They're tired.
Yeah.
They're like, yo, I bought a ticket for a 9:30 show.
Yeah.
This is not what I signed up for. So I'd be pissed too.
It is 10:20 right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd be pissed. But then also at the same time, I'd be like, you know what? This is what I came out. Let me at least just have a good time. Right. I'm here already. Let me have a good time.
I mean, they saw the full room empty right in front of them. It's like, you don't just.
Yeah.
Do you want to sit on a dirty table or do you want them to clean it first?
Sure.
Give everyone some
grace. If you're
good
with a dirty table, line up to the left. If you want the clean one, stay to the right.
But that's, you know, that's the turning a negative to a positive. And bringing it back around. So this podcast, you know, we're all about gratitude. Mm-hmm. We talk about things that we're grateful for, but there's always that one thing that we're annoyed by that makes us mad, and that is our mattitude. And sometimes it can change from week to week. Sometimes there's an ongoing, like, this is the thing that just pisses me off. Mal, what is your mattitude?
The one thing that super annoys me right now, and I don't know if you guys are going to vibe with this, is, do you guys remember shame? Do you remember like when people would be shamed? Like, oh my God,
remember.
I'm ashamed.
It's part of daily life. What do you mean remember?
I don't think people have shame anymore.
Mm.
Like, have you seen, like, I don't know if this happens all across the country, but in Southern California, people do GoFundMes on the back of their car. And I hate it.
GoFundMes for what?
I call them GoFundMes, but it's like, it's my birthday. Here's my Venmo. Buy me a drink.
No.
And their Venmo handle. And I was like, I've seen enough of these. The one that set me off and the one that made me write this note in my notes to like write a joke about this is this girl on the back of her car said, just married, buy me a drink. And I was like, do you understand? Like, what do you, you're keeping one foot in, one foot out? Like, tell your husband to buy you a drink.
Oh my God.
That's weird.
Like, back in the day, like, to ask people for money was like, people would do anything to not have to ask for money. Like, that, it was a shameful thing to do. And now it's just like, on the back of their car. Write it on your, put your Venmo in your car. Mm-mm. Maybe, could you imagine?
I haven't seen that on a car. I've seen it in like bios, like Instagram bios and stuff. And
that too.
Yeah, that's always very interesting to me. Yeah. That's like, here's my Venmo if you want to just
send me some money. Yeah.
What?
Could you imagine sending somebody money from the freeway? Like you're just driving, like what was that Venmo handle? Like you got to follow them. To give them money?
No.
Like, could you imagine? Then that's also sad. Like, that whole thing just makes me so mad.
Yeah.
That you would do that. That's interesting.
There's part of me, like, if I were, there's sometimes where I'm feeling saucy, sassy, fun. Like, I'm talking to everybody I see. I'm at the coffee shop and I'm talking to these people and I'm just like, you know, pass somebody on the road, be like, oh, I like that shirt. Like, sometimes I'm in that mood to just be like, hey, girl, what's up? And I feel like if I was in one of those moods and I saw a Venmo, it's my birthday, blah, blah, I might even be like, okay, it's your birthday. Go have a margarita, girl. Here you go, you know? But for the most part, I feel like if I were to just see a random, like, it's my birthday, buy me a drink, drive by.
Yeah.
I probably would be a little like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
I just thought of this. The next time I see that, I'm going to write down the Venmo and then I'm going to request money from them instead.
Hey, it's my birthday too.
You should.
Can you share?
You absolutely should.
It's also my birthday. Can you send me a drink?
Meeting twins. Yeah. I feel like that goes along the lines too with like the excessive tipping. Mm-hmm. Of like, it's the same.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same vibes.
That's also a mattitude.
Yeah.
When they're like, when you're buying something and they're like, okay, there's going to be a question. And they turn the iPad as they turn away.
Uh-huh. Do you it's like a little dance move. Oh, it's like a
whoop. They turn away.
It's like, pot of beret, broop.
Even though when they turn back around, they're going to see that I hit no hard. Uh-huh. No, dude. Do you tip on coffee if it's just this? Like, I get a black coffee.
No.
And they're like, okay, so you can answer that question. And it's like, 18, 20, 30%.
That's the other thing too, is like, and they trick you where they put the most expensive one on the left because they know we read left or right.
Mm-hmm.
So you automatically want to click the first one, but then it's like 30%, and I'm like, whoa,
excuse me, how do I back out of the tip I accidentally gave you? I accidentally gave you 60 cents. I thought it was gonna be 30.
I did a thing the other day that I was torn about, and I was like, oh, was that the right decision? I don't know, but it, on principle, it made me upset.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Vegas in a taxi, and I went to pay at the end, and then the automatic tip comes up.
Mm-hmm.
20% is standard tip,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. Well, it started 25%,
mm-hmm,
then it went to 30% and 35%. Mm-hmm. What do you want to tip them? And I was like, none of these. I don't want to do any of these.
Yeah.
And so I did do my own tip, and I tipped 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt bad after. And I was like, was I that petty person that didn't just do 25%?
No. Don't feel bad about that.
No.
You know what I also don't like, now that we're talking about our attitude as a group, is tip culture in America? I don't like it when you have a big group and then they put the automatic gratuity and it's 18% automatic. Mm. Some people will tip on top of the mandatory, uh-huh, but no.
Mm-mm.
You put 18%, now you get 18%. I am a generous tipper. I would, if it was a big group and we were there for a long time, I would go 25 probably. But since you said 18.
That's on you.
You're welcome.
I agree.
Right? It's like, I'm
hard
not.
Agree.
But I feel like part of that is they're trying to protect themselves from people who wouldn't. And so they're like, bro, I got to at least get 18%.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, I'll still make it 20 because I get it. I'm like, you had to do what you had to do because there was some jerk table before me who tipped you $20 on their $1,200 bill. So I get it. You got to at least get your 18. So I'll always make it at least 20%.
The service has to be above and beyond for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the person was super cool and nice, like, then yeah, I'll go over. Mm-hmm. But like, if it was just whatever, I would give 20% for like, if it was up to me, just because I have this skin and they expect me not to tip. So I go, all right, well, I'm going to tip at least 20%. But now that it's 18, it's 18.
Mm-hmm.
And you stink. But I'm going to not tip because I'm tipping for the culture.
Sure. Yeah.
These are really good mattitudes. And I knew we could go off on tangents with Mal and Mattitudes because that's kind of how your comedy works. That's how Mal writes his comedy from a Mattitude.
Yeah.
He was like, what's pissing me off these days? And then he gets his new hour.
And it's really great.
I take a pretty hard line and not everyone is with it.
No, yeah.
Most of them were at the late show last night.
Well, let's move into gratitude, Mal. Let's just let tip culture go.
Yeah.
People requesting money from strangers. We'll let it go. What is something that you are grateful for?
I was thinking about this one, and I do want to say to the listeners and viewers, I am grateful for my family because we've done these gratefuls before. And I had a list of things, and then Angela would go, but what about Carlene and your family? So what I'm about to say is, in addition to my family, to my wife and three beautiful children, in addition.
Carlene, you know I got your back all the time, girl. Team Carlene all day. You know I ride hard for Carlene.
So in addition,
Carlene, he didn't mention you again in Great Pulse. Yeah. Just wanted to give you a heads up. I don't know if everything's okay at home. He didn't mention you again. Just need you to know that. Okay, I'll text you later. Bye.
Gosh, Carlene's been kind of cold today. I don't know what happened. YouTube. That's my I'm grateful for YouTube. YouTube is like is so much to me, but so much to all of us, and I don't think we even realize it's like a cable service, it's a dad, it's like a college course, it's like it's like an outlet for our art, it's like everything. And so that's the thing that I think I'm most grateful for. It's like I'm on YouTube the most. And it, like, I'm into golf right now. Like, golf is like my new obsession, and I've never taken a lesson, and I've just watched a ton of videos, like YouTube University on golf, and then I have a ton of YouTube University on pizza, like when I was super getting in, like I'm super into pizza, but like when I was getting into it and didn't know anything, way down the rabbit hole, hours, like probably days of hours in watching YouTube videos on pizza and pizza theory. And now same thing with golf, same thing with cameras, like all this stuff, the weird little things that I know about cameras. It's like, I'm not a photographer. I didn't go to school for photography, but I've learned, if you want to learn, if you are a person that enjoys expanding, you're not like YouTube is there for you. There's a million like videos of people falling and cute animals, but also if you want to learn, like you can learn a lot. Like I've learned so much just on YouTube, and I'm putting my special there, and it's like like your career came from YouTube. It's like everything. It's like such a cool like website, and I was like, I think that's what my grateful will be for the podcast.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I hope you have more gratefuls, because we do five, but that's fine. We'll start with
YouTube. Oh, yeah. I got five. We'll start with...
I told you this.
You probably did. I have five. Yeah. Okay. I have
five. No. Okay, let's talk about YouTube for a second. You're 100% right in YouTube is all the things. And when you said, like, YouTube is dad, the dad you never had, there are, like, certain accounts of dads out there teaching things that a dad would typically teach you, but maybe either you didn't have a dad or your dad didn't know how to do it or whatever it was. There's a dad account teaching you how to tie a tie, how to change a flat tire, how to change your oil, all kinds of stuff that's typically like, thanks, dad. And there's like some really great accounts out there that do that. Have you looked at any of those accounts?
No, I'm not.
You don't need to know how to tie a tie.
But I'm not that sad. You know? Just...
No, it's helpful.
Yeah. There's one for moms, too.
Yeah.
Is there a mom one for, like,
yeah, I've seen, like... there's two where it's, like, all of his videos are, like, dad, how do I change a tire? And then mom did one where it was, like, mom, how do I apply eyeliner?
Oh, cute. Yeah. I wonder if there's, like, how to, like, like, you know how sometimes your thing comes out? Threading. What is
stitching?
Like stitching, yeah. Right? There's so many times where I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I have to ask my mother-in-law and be like, can you, my strap came on, can you sew it back together for me? And then sure enough, she's like doing it for me real quick. Like I could do it, but it's not going to look pretty.
Yeah.
And, but she does it and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you can't even tell.
Professional grade.
Well, we spoke to a YouTube guy, but didn't he say YouTube is like the number one search engine outside of Google?
Then YouTube.
Yeah.
As a search engine.
Yeah.
So Google is, YouTube is all the things. It's a streamer. You can watch television shows. It's a search engine.
Music videos.
It's social media. It's like all the things in one. That YouTube is so powerful. You can start a career on YouTube and you can learn something for your own career on YouTube. Shout out to YouTube, man. Just thank you for starting my career. And for everybody watching this on YouTube right now, thank you for watching. We appreciate it. We are grateful for you.
Big deal. Big deal.
It is a big deal. I guess we can go back to Carlene now.
My second grateful is Carlene. Team Carlene all day. Is it weird if there's if another website is the second?
No, whatever, anything. All right, anything. Well, then you can be grateful for.
Well then, ChatGPT.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I'm not hip to it. I don't use it, but Alejandra, my nanny, she uses it and in Spanish mm-hmm. all the time, and yeah. I'm like, I should do that, and then I never think to do it. But tell me about it.
Yeah, I use it to do my captions on Instagram. Because oh. I'm not good at writing captions for my posts.
Okay.
So I'll put the idea of what I want to say, like,
no way.
These shows were super fun. Like, I'll give bullet points uh-huh. of what I'm trying to say. What I'm not good at is picking emojis and stuff and sounding like I'm a cool. So I'll go, give me three different versions of this in like a conversational tone with appropriate emojis. And then what? It'll rewrite.
I'm going to go back to all your posts right now and read your captions.
Yeah.
Read it. Read us one of his captions.
Was this a ChatGPT one?
Yes.
Okay, read it.
It's his promotion for his special. I'm thrilled to announce that in 1 month, I'll be filming my second comedy special, What Are We Doing Today? At Lulu's Club in the Lafayette Hotel in San Diego. I've toured this. Oh, and there's an emoji. A smiley one. Mm-hmm. I've toured this material from coast to coast for the past year, and now it's time to record it for everyone. Emoji of a camera. Mark your calendar. I can't see. Mark your calendars for Friday, September 6th, and Saturday, September 7th for the two show tapings. Another emoji of a camera. Okay. Filming in my hometown makes this even more special. It's going to be unforgettable. Tickets are available now and they'll go fast, so don't wait. Ticket emoji.
Yeah.
Well done, ChatGPT.
Like, I would never talk like that.
What did you put in?
I put excited to shoot my comedy special at this venue. Here's the dates and tickets available now. And
that
super,
you toured.
Super special. Yeah, yeah. I wrote like the skeleton of that. Uh-huh. And then I basically had ChatGPT help me make it like fun, like that tone.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. boom. Another thing that ChatGPT is good for that I never would have thought to use it for this, but somebody told me, is for recipes. Like when you're at home and you only have like four things.
Yes.
You're like, I have chicken, onions, and tomatoes. You could go to ChatGPT and say like dinner recipe, quick dinner recipe, under 30 minutes, using main ingredients, chicken, tomatoes, whatever the other thing uh-huh. I said. Give me three options.
Wait, and then it'll give downloading you, immediately.
Then it'll yeah. give you three recipes.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I'll look at what I have in the fridge and I'm like, what can I make with this? And I'll just start Googling. Like, mm-hmm. I'll put in some of the ingredients and then I'll look at recipes and I have to say, okay, well, I don't have that. Okay, but I do have this. I guess I can like make my own thing. That is such a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, I'm making a note to do that later.
I wonder if comics are using ChatGPT to write their material.
1,000%.
No, really?
1,000%. If people are stealing jokes from other comedians, you don't think they're also just putting it in ChatGPT?
That's so wild.
Kind of scary.
That is scary.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what if we should put in like topics for a joke and then we can...
We should not, because what if it's really funny and then we get addicted to it?
Yeah.
Slippery slope, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
We could read our weekly ChatGPT joke.
Yeah.
Well, because I had heard about like using that for songwriting,
mm-hmm.
but the problem with that is this robot doesn't have a past
mm-hmm.
ex-boyfriend
right.
that really mm-hmm. broke their heart.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they're like writing with no heart and emotion. They're just writing like
I your wonder if
bullet
they
points.
Use it just to like get ideas, or if they're like, what rhymes with, or you know,
yeah, give me eight words that rhyme with pudding.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I will say a friend of mine uses it to send like breakup text messages, like
see?
If she goes on a date yep. and doesn't know how to like tell a guy like, I don't want to see you anymore. Yep. She'll put it. She's done. Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah. It's yeah. like, here's how I'm feeling. Rewrite this, uh-huh. but in a compassionate tone.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what
oh,
I
yeah.
mean? Like they do
good.
the tones.
Mm, or cover letters mm-hmm. or like, I have heard of people doing it for job interviews.
Yeah.
Is ChatGPT also dad? Like, what?
Yeah. Dad,
it's your best friend. It's your best friend that tells you what to write. Just say this, dude.
Yeah.
Are you sure? I don't know if that's going to work. It's going to work. Trust me.
I have a lot of data behind this.
Use this emoji.
Wait, now I'm worried. What was that one movie where the guy fell in love with the robot?
Her.
Her. It feels like, are there people out there that maybe talk to the robot every day?
Maybe.
I mean, there has to be.
Yeah.
Well, there's, there was an app or something where it's like a friend. Remember? There was like somebody, a brand or somebody who reached out to see if I would like help promote it. And it was, it was like a, something where you can have like this online like type friend, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, that's such a slippery slope because I would want to encourage people to like get out and like get off the devices and go have like human contact with people. But there are certain people that I think could benefit from that, like those who are severely socially dysfunctional. Like they can't hold a conversation with people. Like they get either so nervous or they're just like, there's some people who just can't really hold like social situations. But, and for that person who has no friends and has been by themselves throughout junior high, high school, now their adult years, they just don't have any friends because they don't know how to participate in connection.
Yeah.
I think for that person, having someone, that feels like they're able to
connect with
I think that could be healthy. And
as a transitional tool only, we can't have you just being friends with
that's what I was thinking, like maybe it helps you work on those social skills and then go put it into action in real life.
Then go outside,
now go practice this with a human.
But you know, then I think they should only allow you, in the app, it should be like, you are allowed to use this for 10 months. And after 10 months, it will be deleted from your phone. And you got to make up a new email address. If you want to get
can
a new
can I request
username.
The same robot that my friend had? A friend of mine had it, said she was real good.
But the robot knows. They're like, Kelly, we know. No, it's Shelly. No, we know it's you.
And then we know it's you.
What else, Mal? What else are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for golf.
Yeah, you are.
I really am.
You went gung-ho into this golf.
I'm like, October will be 1 year of golfing.
Golf anniversary?
You have a golf-iversary?
Wait, hold on, you guys. Maybe? No. So it'll be a year in October that I've been playing, and I'm like really taken to the game because it reminds me so much of stand-up, of how hard it is. It's such a hard game. It's such a hard game. And it's a meticulous game, like how stand-up is. Like there's so many parallels. Like every single word that we say on stage matters to get to this punchline. Every single thing you do with this golf club matters to get the ball to the hole. When you connect on a joke that you've been working on forever, it feels so good, like you can't even imagine. And then same thing, like when you hit a ball like clean, that you've been trying to hit forever, it's like, oh yes, I could do this, like I'm doing this. And there's so much about the game, and I'm grateful. The one thing that I am grateful for is that Carlene loves that I'm doing it.
That's cool.
It's like super cool. So I'm not, I don't ever feel like I'm escaping my family. Like some of these dudes are like legitimately like trying to escape to the golf course for 4 hours. And I'm like, hey, Carlene, do you care if I go play? And she's like pumped that I'm into it. And I think the people that I'm playing with is probably like the people that play with me she also likes. So she thinks it's cool that we're hanging out. So I never feel like I'm escaping my family. I just feel like I'm trying to get better at this thing that's so hard and I'm now addicted to.
And see, cool, this is why I'm team Carlene. She's so supportive. She is just ride or die. She's like, yeah, babe, you go have fun, Go do your extracurriculars.
I'll watch these three babies on my own.
Yeah. After you get back from the road, you've been gone for a week. You want to go golf? Go golf, babe. I got it. See, this is why I'm Team Carlene. Carlene just, she'll handle it.
It's
she'll
such
get
a it fun done. Game. Have you guys ever played?
I haven't. I'm not. When I say I'm not good, I'm, what am I even doing out there? Yeah. It's not even like, I couldn't even do it. Yeah. Like it was very frustrating. I was like, I don't like this game.
Yeah. I've only ever done putt-putt or top versions.
Top golf?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never done the real
deal. I think I felt like that when I started. And what gave me comfort is that everyone sucks. It's such a hard game that like the percentages of people that, the people that you see on TV that are professional golfers, they're like one, literally the 1%. And then there's a group behind them that's like, maybe could play, that's like another 1%. And then there's a huge gap of everyone else that's like trying to get good at this game. And then you go out, like today when I play by myself. So they just pair you with a bunch of strangers. And it's like, on the first couple of holes, everyone is like watching, like who's
is
good here?
Good? Is someone good? Or is... And do you get nervous? Like, what if I'm the sucky one of the group?
Yeah. But then I always I deflect with self-deprecating humor on the first hole. I go, look at you guys. We're gonna save the worst for last. And so I'm going to go last. Mm-hmm. And that just gives me an opportunity to see who.
Oh, turns out I'm not the worst.
Yeah. After I see the first guy, I'm like, oh, yeah, he stinks. I'm gonna outdrive this guy. Then I get competitive. You know how competitive I am. But then I also tell him, I'm like, well, I have this for like a little while where it's like, oh, I'm like new. I'm new, but they don't know that I've played like 60 times this year because I'm like trying to get good at it. And then I did pretty well this morning.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well done.
What does well mean?
For me right now, well is like low 90s. So par is 71 or 72. And if I'm 20 strokes is like the goal, is like if I'm hitting 90. Mm-hmm. I'm super stoked on that.
What's like an average? Because you said like the 1% are here, and then there's this whole group. Like out of this whole group, what are people mostly?
So people, like the people that I would say are good, are in the low 80s.
Oh, okay.
Like the professionals are going under 72, so they'll get under par, right? Mm-hmm. So for someone that's really really good, 72, which is par, to 77, like five strokes over, would be like they're really really good. And then 77 to like 85, those people are also really good, but they're definitely not, they look at those people like, how do you even do that? And then there's me that's looking at those people like, I think like I'm in my second year, I think I'm gonna get to where you guys are at.
That's cool.
And then there's where I used to be when I started, which is like 120.
Wow.
So you're going like, you know, 50 shots over par because you don't know where the ball's going and you have no idea, and it's like scary, but then you get it locked in and it's fun.
I want to know, how do they determine, all right, this one's four, like from where you start to where you're trying to get?
I think the person that designs it decides like how hard it, like they put obstacles in your way to make it hard. So like if there's enough obstacles, like there's a fairway and we put three sand bunkers, and like there's a tree that we got that's super crooked that we put right here, so if you, most people are gonna hit right here, or you can learn how to turn your shot so it goes this way, that's very hard, so this will be five shots you get to make it in. So that's a par five, that's like on a long hole and it's super hard. And then there's the par threes, which are also super hard, but they're closer, so they seem like it would be easier, but it's definitely not.
Okay, and then last golf question, because I don't want this rest. I have so many golf questions after this. But so if that was like five and you went all your five shot, that means you get the 5 points. The higher you get, the bad it is, right?
So if it's a par five hole, your goal is to get it in five shots or less. If you hit it in five shots, you're happy with that. You're like, okay. I did par. That's like,
what if you don't hit it? You just keep going until.
Yeah. I think on most scorecards, it's like, or it depends on who you're playing with, how serious they are. Some people are real a-holes about it. But 8 is like the maximum. If you go 3 or 4 uh-huh. shots over.
Yeah.
Then people go, okay, well, let's just keep it moving. There's people waiting. Let's go.
Yeah.
And you feel it too. Like, nobody wants to be on. Ooh. Like, you're putting and you putt past the hole to the other side of the green. And you're like, okay. Then you try to putt back to the hole, but then you go to the other side.
And you start sweating.
Like, yeah. I've literally said, like, months ago when I started, I was like, all right, you guys, I'm sorry. Let's go to the next hole. Even when you hit a ball out of bounds, it's like, some people that take it serious will like look for their ball for like 5 minutes. I'm like, dude, that's a dollar. Drop another ball and let's go. Like, what are we doing?
That's good. Do you have any other gratefuls?
Do you have one?
Yeah, I have all kinds of gratefuls.
Okay, do one and then I'll think of my last two.
And you'll have some more time. Yeah.
It's a brainstorming session.
Yeah. It's a brainstorm of gratefuls, of gratitudes.
Here's what I'm grateful for. Okay. My friends. I have good friends. I like that. So right now, this podcast, when this podcast airs, I would have already taped my second special. But I'm pretty stoked that I have friends that are artists that support what I do. So I'm able to make high quality products without mm-hmm. having to spend all the money, because I'm not mm-hmm. rich mm-hmm. but I have friends that are like donating their skills to help me mm-hmm. make this special possible. And mm-hmm. like, I think probably the most valuable thing that I own, and I own a lot of things, the most valuable thing that I have is my friends. Like, I have mm-hmm. a ton of really good friends, and mm-hmm. I think it's because I'm a good friend, but I also think that I am grateful that I do have friends. Like, some people don't have people that they can call to just for anything, mm-hmm. much less
ChatGPT. That's it.
Yeah, yeah, they got that YouTube, mm-hmm. that YouTube channel friend. Mm-hmm. Much less being like, hey, I'm gonna record this thing. You master albums for a living. Do you mind mastering my? How much would you charge me to master? I always ask, like, how much do you want to get paid? And they're like, you idiot, just send me the files and I'll do it. And it's like, I have this thing, like, OG's going to come out to shoot the thing. It's like, hey, man, like, how much? We'll work on a price. And it's not like mm-hmm. what he would charge, like his rate. And it's mm-hmm. like, I feel very mm-hmm. grateful that I have these people that believe in me and want me to win. So they're like, whatever I can do, this mm-hmm. is like nothing. Like, let's just make it happen.
Yeah, like friends that would like wear your merch on their own podcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that is like a true friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, if you can get you a friend like that, that's, don't let go of that one.
For sure. I'm super grateful. And it's making me, it's really making me mad at you that Danielle is not also wearing a shirt.
Yay.
And she knew you were the guest today. For sure. And she knew.
She reached out to me.
She has a laugh shirt at home.
Yeah. I have several, actually.
Yeah.
I also told you to come prepared with 5 gratitudes, so.
You probably did. And so you know what? I was probably insecure about asking you, like, hey, Danielle, how many gratitudes do I need to have tomorrow? Because then you would be like, oh, you just didn't read the email that I sent? We're not reading the sheet anymore? So I was like, let me come with one good, strong one for sure.
And that's a good one. 45 seconds later, we're all, okay, what else?
What else you got?
And I also for sure was like, don't say family. We say family all the time. There's got to be something else.
I didn't say family. I did not say family.
I know.
But family is a good one.
It's so important.
Yeah.
Family is important.
It's
but
so important.
We can get specific in family. Like, yes, we're grateful for family, but then we mm-hmm. get like super specific, and you told mm-hmm. us how supportive Carlene is with mm-hmm. your hobby.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really important, because mm-hmm. not a lot of partners are as supportive with their partner's hobby, especially if their hobby is expensive.
Mm-hmm. takes four hours,
you know what I mean?
For like, sure. I've definitely been out with friends whose wives are like, they know they're golfing, and it's like, has he hit yet? And he's in the cart on the phone because his wife won't like stop calling.
Yeah.
It's like, are you done yet? You called me 5 minutes ago. Like, oh no, we're not done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of the laugh shirt, I'm grateful that people have really taken to this laugh shirt community.
Yeah, like, how many do you have, do you think?
I should know the exact number, but it's definitely in the thousands. Like, there's a comma in the number.
Explain to people. Tell us?
So for those who are not initiated, I sell the merchandise I sell after my shows are shirts that say laugh on them, and I've been doing it for 10 plus years. And it's a different design every year, and it says laugh on it. And in the last couple of years, I've started collaborating with artists to make cool like graphic tees. But what people do with the shirt is they take them with them on vacation. They take pictures in front of famous landmarks and they email them to me, and I put them up on this website, laughshirt.com. And so there's pictures of people wearing my shirt in corners of the globe. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you that I am sincerely and genuinely like touched every time I get an email that's like, took your shirt to blah, blah. Like, one lady said the subject of the email was like, I don't think your shirt's going further south than this. And I was like, oh, what is this? Antarctica. Wow. She took the laugh hoodie down to Antarctica. It's like this idea from a girlfriend that was like, you should tell people to take your shirts on vacation. And I was like, Amy, no one's ever going to do that. And like, fast forward thousands of pictures later of just
shout
people
out
like,
to Amy.
Shout out Amy.
Yeah. Laughshirt.com/Amy. Here we go.
I know, I'm looking at all of them.
Tons of pictures.
I know.
Cool.
My dad took one to Dollywood.
Cute. Did he send it into the website?
He texted it to me and I texted it to Mal.
Yeah. Oh, he has an inside. Yeah. He has an inside
connection. Yes. Yeah.
The thing that's really cool about it is that it's a different design every year, as you know. And it's like, so when people send me the pictures, I know I could kind of tell like when they saw me.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this is the 2016.
Yeah. So that's so cool.
Following for a while. But the fact that people, I'm truly grateful that people would like, when you plan a vacation, it's like the last thing I'm thinking about is like, where's that shirt that I got from that comedian?
Yeah.
And for some people, they're like, I got to pack that shirt because I want to get a picture. And it's like super cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very unique idea, too.
It's
the Antarctica one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. That's fun.
It's super cool. And I literally never. I mean, I didn't plan it. It was just super organic.
Yeah.
And now it's a community. There's some people that buy a new shirt every year.
That's fine.
Like, buy a shirt. Like, because I send them out. So it's like, oh, I know this address. I've sent all the other shirts here. Boom. Mm-hmm. And it's like they take the shirt every year to a different place.
That's pretty cool.
On their vacations. Yeah.
I will say that you, even though that was your friend's idea, the implementation of it is you. You are such a good marketer. Your brain of your merchandise to your postcards to your pizza pop-ups to the way you do your Instagram reels and your stories, like everything's creative. You put so much thought and effort into your brand and it just looks so good. And it's just really good and polished. Well done, Mal.
I appreciate it. And I cannot wait to be able to pay people to do it for me. Like, it's really it's a product of like necessity. It's like, I have to do this, or it's like, it's not going to be there if I don't do it. And if I'm going to do it, I want it to be quality because I try to dress for the job that I want. So if I want to be like on your level and like headliners that I respect level, then my content needs to be at this level and I can't hire someone to do it. So what's the tripod I need to buy to hold this camera to get the content? And it's like, all of it is like from necessity, like watching you guys, watching Joe, watching Kevin Hart, like what are they doing? And how can I implement that into my thing to help build my community so I can feed my family the way they do?
Yeah.
It's like the thing. It's like I learn from watching.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're very good at that. And I've always thought that about you. Like, since we've been working, you've always been on that hustle mentality of like, how do I dress the part?
Yeah.
And it's just flawless. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, Mal Hall. Do you have any more gratitudes that you want to?
Not right now.
No? Okay, thank you so much for participation.
Thank you.
These are A all plus. Really good gratitudes.
A plus for the assignment.
These are from the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From just spitballing from you the know, heart. Listen, you know, and that's what it's about.
Some of them bubbled up in my heart just now in the last 50 minutes. But the Mattitude was real.
You want to go back to the Mattitudes?
Is it Mattitude was real.
I'm more of a Mattitude guy. Every you time are. Every time we do the Gratefuls in the green room beforehand, I'm like, God. Everyone here is so grateful. I'm just mad.
That's funny.
Why don't people say no to their kids? Can I say I'm grateful for that? Like all of the jokes.
You are the proof that I've said on this podcast before that practicing gratitude is something that I do in my daily life and even on the road with my team in being in the green room, whether it's I have anxiety and let's do our gratitudes or I feel somebody else has and it's pause, let's all do our gratitudes. For years, we've used this tool where it's not like every show we do our gratitudes. It's not something that we just like have to do. Mm-hmm. It's more of a tool when we need it. When I'm feeling low and I need to shift it up. I actually should have done Gratefuls last night because I was feeling anxious last night. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but I felt it all day. Oh, I do know why. It's because it's the beginning of a work week. And mm-hmm. I always, especially when it's a heavy work week, it's 8 shows.
Yeah.
And it's back to back and we're driving far and driving back. And I start feeling anxious like the day before and I feel it like in my chest. I feel melancholy. I start feeling a little bit sad. I get clingy. I get very clingy to Manny. I get very clingy to Rosie and I don't want to like miss anything because mm-hmm. I'm already thinking about like I'm going to leave Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
And I leave like at 4 p.m. to drive there. And then so I'll miss her dinner. I'll miss her bedtime. And then I miss her waking up in the morning because I'm sleeping in.
Mm-hmm.
So I start thinking about all the things I'm going to miss. And then I start getting clingy. And then I'm like, I'm supposed to be getting ready for this spot that I'm doing at the Comedy Store. But I'm just going to read her one more book.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start doing that where like, okay, I'm probably going to be late, but I just have to like read her one more book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just do one more book. And it's not, yes, I want to spend time with my daughter, but it's my anxiety that's keeping me locked in mm-hmm. this like place of, it doesn't feel good if I walk over there. I need to just stay here with her for a second. Okay, one more book. Okay, she's ready to go to bed. Okay, and it's my anxiety that's keeping me like stuck.
Like you feel guilty that you're leaving?
Not even guilt. It's like a security blanket.
Okay.
Like she needs B, but I need her.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things. Like I need to just, I don't want to go. I want to cancel everything. Mm-hmm. I want to just, you know, it becomes like one of those types of things. And I shouldn't have booked that set tonight because now I have to leave her. And then once I'm there, I'm like, oh no, I'm glad I booked this set. It was just I had anxiety mm-hmm. is what it was. Mm-hmm. So I started feeling really, really bad anxiety yesterday. And like I could feel my breathing changing and I was quiet mostly the drive to
even
the
in the
club.
Green room, you were a little bit not like.
Yeah, so I should have done my gratitudes last night.
Mm-hmm.
But instead I was just in my head and just like, I don't know. I didn't. I knew I was feeling anxious and I kept talking to myself about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, you feel anxious. But I didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I should have done something about it. But I say all of that to say that that's what this podcast is about. It's a tool that we use and we practice on the road when we're in those situations. And I didn't do it last night, but it would have been great if we all just paused for a second and did our gratitudes. That could have like helped me shift my energy.
And maybe Ratatouille would have stayed. In.
You know what? He would have stayed out them rafters. Yeah.
Also, I think it goes without saying, I didn't want to be cheesy, but I'm grateful for our friendship because I would say a heavy percentage of the people that know me is because of the platform that you've given me from like going on the road with you. So like certain cities, people come out to see me now and it's not because I've ever been there before or I've been on TV or I have anything mm-hmm. going on because I love the stand-up part. Mm-hmm. Like I got into stand-up to be a comedian, not mm-hmm. to like be an actor or anything. Like,
yeah, parlay
this is,
it.
Yeah, this is, I wanted to be, you know, Brian Regan, Bill Cosby, just like a comedian. People know Chris Rock, like that's a comedian.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to parlay it. Yeah. Make me a star. Please. Put me in a movie. Somebody put me in a movie.
Please do. Please do. But like, you know, fate had it that we met and then became friends. And and then, you know, not very many feature acts like hang with the headliner for as long as we've worked together. But it's so comfortable. And like, and I feel like you allow me to be myself and grow. Like, I've heard so many horror stories from other feature acts where they're like surprised that I get to do, to just like be a human, basically, you know, like it's the industry can be very, it's hard already, that the art, and then the industry is also hard. And I don't feel like I've felt a lot of that just because forever, like, the way you've treated me has been fair and awesome. And, yeah, like selling merch, going out, handing out cards at your shows, like, down to like staying, putting me in the same hotel as you is like something that is not universal across the board. Like people, I'll talk to comedians and I'm like, where do you stay? It's like, wherever she's staying, that's where I'm staying. And it's like, oh, you don't stay at the motel or sleep in the rental car? Or I mean, I'm being that's hyperbole, but it's like, yeah, I haven't had the same experience as some of my peers, which I'm grateful for. But also like the audience, like your audience, like we have sort of the same audience by, I think, naturally, because our material is sort of the same. It's we're family. Telling stories about our families. We have two different voices and points of view. You know what I mean?
The mad and the grand.
But like, I mean, a lot of my audience, like when I'll ask them after the shows, like, how did you hear about me? Or they'll come up right up front with it. Like, we saw you open for Angela and we wanted to come see you.
So cool.
And they'll come to one show and then I'll see them again. And it's like, oh, cool.
Oh, that's
like,
awesome.
And it's, and I'm always grateful that like I have, I'm able to connect with these people because you've brought me out with you and allowed me to like develop into the comedian that I am without holding me back at all. You know, that's like a big deal. And I appreciate it. I'm grateful for it.
You know what, Mal? You are welcome.
You are welcome. Can I have your number?
Can I have your number?
Can I have it?
With that being said, you guys, we are going to play a voicemail from a listener, because we have listeners call in and tell us what they're grateful for. So if you're listening right now and you would like to call in and leave us a voicemail and tell us what you're grateful for, the phone number is
747-300-5380. Give us a call. Ooh, yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
Wait, what? What was the number?
747.
If this is a song.
747-300-5380. Give us a call. Ooh, yeah.
Angela? If that gets stuck in my head, that is going to be my attitude later on at the show tonight.
My goal is for it to become 1-800 Empire Today type of legendary
KARS cars for kids.
Yeah, I hope it's going to be the new Empire Today, like that. I want people to
I love it. Song.
All right, who's let's play. That's Gabe Gibbs. Gabe Gibbs. He's a very funny comedic music guy from Broadway. He's lovely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's our actual voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, Angela, this is Missy Lovaker Reeking by way of Ohio. And I just wanted to give you a shout out. I was listening about your family reunion, and I got a little jelly because I came from, although I'm a Latina, from a very small family. My mom and dad had four miscarriages trying to have me, and I have one older sibling that unfortunately we're not in touch anymore. But I had a good grounding of family sense until my father passed away last August unexpectedly. And it has made me appreciate all those family gatherings that he would take me to Puerto Rico or to Florida for.
Yeah.
That I would go, oh my God, this is so many people, but I miss it. And so thank you for reminding me what family is about. And I guess that's what I'm thankful for. Love you both, and we'll be looking out for the podcast.
That's special.
That's nice.
See, family, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't want to be cheesy, say family, but family is important. Yeah. That's like the common thread. Like, we wouldn't be where we are today without our family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Literally, like, our family who supports us, but then also, like, our family history, our childhood, the way we grew up and became the person we are today because of our childhood, our parents, the way they raised us, the community that we kept growing up. Like, all of that helps form who we are mm-hmm. today. And, it's just very, very important. I'm happy that we could be a reminder to Misty or Missy mm-hmm. was her name, that we can be a reminder of how important family is and be grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Very special.
Yeah.
Because you have a big family, not only yourself with all your kids that you have, but.
Okay. Three. All right. All your kids that you have. Like, I'm driving a bus around. Three. Third and final. Three. We're done.
We'll see about that.
No, we're done. We are done. We're closed for business. No more. No mas.
Who's your mom's favorite these days?
I think I'm finding out that Kalino is everyone's favorite. Everyone loves Kalino. Kalino's my firstborn son. Kalino's like 1A for everybody, and then June is like 1B, that's my daughter, and Kaipo is like, we're figuring out where he's gonna go. Figuring out where he's gonna go.
June is a sass, and I like it.
I love June.
June is so tough.
I called it from the beginning, though.
So tough.
I don't know if you remember, but I called it from the beginning. I was like, June's gonna whoop Kalino's booty.
Yeah. She is. And everyone goes, it's a second child. The second child is always, mm-hmm. if the first one was super easy, the second one is going to be, and it is, she's living up to that. And some, like, every single thing that my mom warned us about for Kalino that didn't happen. And we're like, what are you talking about? Kids that eat off the floor. We don't have those.
Okay. June said bet.
We make kids.
Say less.
We make kids that eat with silverware in the proper order from outside to inside. And June is like, she'll pick up anything and just put it in her mouth and be like, look, and open her mouth. And it's like, what is that? Yeah. Is that food? No. Why is it in your mouth? Look. I'm like, okay, June. All right.
Yeah, Rosie's She's pretty very, wild too.
Yeah, very independent, very smart is what we want in our girls. Like, I'm so pumped that she is like super assertive and like mm-hmm. not scared. You know, she's mm-hmm. not. I feel like what she's showing now is like June is going to be like a tomboy that likes wearing a dress.
Yeah.
You know, like, she likes girly stuff, but she's also like, what are you guys doing over there?
Yeah, I'll kick the ball.
Yeah. I'll mm-hmm. throw a mud ball at you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. like, straight up. Mm-hmm. She wants to do everything by herself. She doesn't want help. No, Daddy, I do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. You definitely can't do it, but just let me know when you're ready. Can you help me, Daddy? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, just That's let me do sweet. This from the beginning.
She had to try it first. Yeah. That's very first daughter
mm-hmm.
mentality.
I give space to try, but like sometimes it's like, come on, man. Let's go.
We got to go.
We got to go.
Mm-hmm. I do it myself. No, we got to go. Get in the car. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll let her cry because we're on a schedule here. We're not the family where the kids run the time. We let's go. Mm-hmm. Get in there.
Yeah.
Get in there.
Rosie's right on par with that too.
Mm-hmm.
But she's first. She's first and only. I mean, because as of right now, we're like, this is hard. I don't think we're going to do another one. But even if we did do another one, and you say the second one's the crazy one?
Yeah. They say if the first one's easy, then the second one is.
Oh, okay.
So if Rosie is challenging, then maybe you'll get a Kalino on the second one.
Uh-huh.
You'll get a chill one, the second one.
Yeah.
You should do it.
Just try it.
Just give it a shot.
See what happens.
See what.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
It's do it for the bit.
It's 50-50 though. Yeah. Go for it. Go for it.
Do it for the joke. Obviously.
Yeah. Obviously, I need more material.
Yeah.
Mal Hall, thank you so much for joining me on my podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is super fun.
Yeah, and I'll see you in a couple hours at the show.
Yeah, for sure. This feels like we could have done this in the green room.
We probably could have. Yeah.
No, but then I was gonna have to carry all this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
My backpack's already so heavy. You felt it.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. If you guys next time you see Danielle at a show, be like, "Can I lift your backpack?" And she'll look at you in the face and go, "Can you? Are you sure your back is ready for this? Because it is 7,000 pounds. I don't know why. What's in there?
Everything. I'm always prepared.
It's your full book club is in there. It's just too many books.
Well, there is a book in there, actually.
I know.
And
of course.
But she asks me for stuff all the time. And guess what? I have it.
Yeah.
It's like Mary Poppins' bag.
It is.
Do you
Mary
need something?
Poppins.
I've got stuff in there. Yeah. What do you need? I'm ready.
Yeah.
And also bricks, maybe.
Every day is leg day for Danielle. She has her backpack.
Well, thank you, Mucho.
Thank
you. We'll see you in a little bit. Thanks for watching, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Also, if you have hookups for free golf, hit me up at Mal Hall on Instagram.
And he's serious.
If you want Angela to come golf, she will not, but I will golf for her. I'll golf on her behalf.
Stupid.
Leave that in.
Of course. Wouldn't dream of taking that out.